Boeing admits to still another delay for the Dreamliner. American cancels another 1,000 flights to inspect its MD-80s. And Airbus predicts a big drop in sales this year. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, April 10th, 2008. It's not really unexpected, but still a major blow to Boeing's struggling 787 Dreamliner program. The plane maker told investors on Wednesday a revised plan for first flight and initial deliveries moves target dates off by as much as another 6 months. Boeing says the Dreamliner's first flight has been rescheduled again due to slower than expected completion of work coming in from supplier facilities, unanticipated rework, and intentional sandbagging in an attempt to set the deadline far enough out to need no further revision. Boeing Commercial Airplanes President and CEO Scott Carson acknowledged the impact on airlines and hinted concessions may be coming. Quote, "We deeply regret the disruption and disappointment these changes will cause for our customers, and we will work closely with each of them to minimize the impact," unquote. The company now targets approximately 25 deliveries in 2009. More than 500 American Airlines flights were canceled Tuesday and another 1,000 on Wednesday as the carrier began reinspecting its entire 300-plane fleet of MD-80 airliners to ensure proper stowage of wiring bundles inside main gear wheel wells. Reuters reports American thought the problem was behind it, but when FAA inspectors returned to the carrier's Tulsa, Oklahoma maintenance center, they found several planes still out of compliance with the 2006 Airworthiness Directive. The airline elaborated in an official statement, quote, "Specifically, some areas of concern included the spacing of the ties on the wiring bundle and the direction in which the retention clips and lacing cords were facing," unquote. CEO Gerard Arpey said Tuesday, quote, "We regret and apologize that we are once again causing inconvenience to our customers," unquote. It's not clear when all the inspections will finally be complete. Airbus now forecasts new airliner orders will fall to 750 planes in 2008, the lowest in 4 years, because of rising fuel and credit costs. Bloomberg attributes the prediction to Chief Operating Officer John Leahy, who says orders will probably drop from a record 1,341 set last year. Jet fuel costs represent an average of 28% of airline operating expenses, and they rose 16% just in the past quarter, while the International Monetary Fund estimates losses stemming from the U.S. mortgage crisis may approach $1 trillion. Eads, the owner of Airbus, last month reported its first annual loss in 5 years on cost overruns for military transport planes and the 525-seat A380 Super Jumbo airliner. On Wednesday, officials of Embraer formally introduced the new Embraer MSJ and MLJ executive jet programs, which were recently approved by the company's board of directors. The midsize MSJ has a 3,000 nautical mile range, while the midlight MLJ with a 2,300 nautical mile range will be positioned between the Legacy 600 and the Phenom 300 in the company's executive jet lineup. The company says an estimated $750 million U.S. will be invested in research and development for the new models, expected to enter service in the second half of 2012 for the MSJ and the second half of 2013 for the MLJ. Luis Carlos Afonso, Executive VP for Executive Jets, expressed Embraer's high expectations. Quote, "We believe these new jets will revolutionize the categories, offering best-in-class features with premium comfort, full fly-by-wire technology, superior performance, and low operating costs." Up next on ANN, NBAA announces a new annual small aircraft exhibition. Cessna's Caravan line gets the Garmin G1000, and Liberty Aerospace debuts the XL2 Vanguard Edition. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3200. CJ220.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for April 10th, 2008. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. At a packed news conference Wednesday at Lakeland, NBAA CEO Ed Bolin announced the first of what the organization hopes will be an annual event, showcasing the light business jets, turboprops, and piston aircraft. The inaugural Light Airplane Conference and Exhibition is scheduled for March 12th through the 14th, 2009, in San Diego, California. NBAA plans roughly 1,000 exhibit booth spaces at LACNE, with 50 aircraft on display at nearby San Diego International Airport. The organization also expects to offer 25 information sessions tailored to light business aircraft operators. Now, if you're having a hard time differentiating the concept from other general aviation shows, you're not alone. As Bolin took questions following his announcement, even EAA President Tom Poberesny asked for more clarification on just what NBAA calls a light aircraft. Bolin said the new show was created in response to input from the roughly 60% of members flying small business aircraft. He also made it clear it's a work in progress. Bolin said the new show was created in response to input from the roughly 60% of NBAA members who fly small business aircraft. He also made it clear it's a work in progress. Quote, throughout the rest of Sun and Fun and in the months to come, NBAA wants to hear from light aircraft operators in our industry about how to make the event as valuable an experience as possible, unquote. Suggestions are welcome by email at ideas@nbaa.org or by phone at 1-800-9-AVIATE. The Garminization of Cessna's single engine line is complete. Cessna announced in Lakeland it recently achieved FAA certification to deliver its Caravan models with Garmin G1000 integrated avionics as standard equipment. The first retail deliveries of Garmin-equipped Caravans remains on schedule to begin by mid-year. Cessna customers now will find the G1000 package on nearly every aircraft, ranging from the Skyhawk single-engine piston through the Citation Mustang entry-level business jet. Cessna says it got a record 272 Caravan orders last year, including 59 during NBAA, where the company introduced the avionics upgrade and announced it will offer optional TKS ice protection from CAV Aerospace on cargo pod-equipped Caravans. Cessna responded to the order uptick by significantly increasing Caravan production rates for 2008. Liberty Aerospace held a press conference at Lakeland Wednesday to announce the launch of the advanced XL-2 Vanguard Edition. The latest model of the FADEC-equipped two-seat touring and training aircraft offers a gross weight increase to 1,750 pounds, tow brakes, WAAS-enabled Garmin GPS avionics, Jeppesen terrain database, and entry steps, all as standard equipment. New optional avionics include the all-digital Aspen Evolution Pro primary flight display, Garmin GTX 330 transponder with traffic avoidance, and GPS-coupled S-Tech 30 dual-access autopilot. An InSight TrueFlow 500 fuel flow computer, coupled directly to the GPS for live in-flight fuel management, is also available. Deliveries of the new model are expected to begin in early summer of this year. Texas Sport Aircraft Company announced this week the recent completion of the first sold Texas Sport Aircraft kit. The aircraft was flown to Lakeland for display through the weekend. The Texas Sport is an amateur-built derivative of the American Legend Cub, the number one selling American-made light sport aircraft, and the number two seller overall among LSAs. The first Texas Sport Aircraft kit was sold in August 2007 to Rand Siegfried of Palo Alto, California. Siegfried opted for the Quick Build program, which allows completing an aircraft in as little as 21 days under the supervision of experienced builders at the factory in Sulphur Springs, Texas. Rand Siegfried is a recreational pilot with experience in classic and twin-engine aircraft. His hangar also holds a 1954 Beech 18 and a 1968 Beech 55. He built his new Texas Sport for and with his 16-year-old daughter, McKinley. Siegfried is an EAA lifetime member and a current EAA Class 1 director. He frequently flies a Ford Tri-Motor, giving rides at EAA events. Still ahead, FAA technicians say the agency has cut corners on telecommunications. American Airlines pilots speak out on the MD-80 groundings. And finally, get your motor running, fly above the highway. You're listening to Aero News.
This is a story of two pilots. Our first guy, the one with Garmin Waas GPS, he just arrived home from a trip, ready to enjoy a nice home-cooked meal with his supermodel girlfriend.
Chérie, viens près de moi.
But our other guy, the pilot without Waas, well, he couldn't quite make it home. Had to divert to an airport with an ILS approach. So now it's dinner from a vending machine in some crummy pilot's lounge. You know which pilot you want to be. Garmin Waas GPS. Follow the leader.
Chérie.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, April 9th, 2008. I'm Paul Plagg. The Professional Aviation Safety Specialists Union says that despite a rosy picture painted Tuesday by the FAA, the agency's telecommunications infrastructure network is unreliable, lacking suitable backups, and continues to be a source of great frustration and deep concern for FAA technicians and air traffic controllers who must deal with it. PASS criticizes what it calls the FAA's decision to cut corners and costs on the project and run it on the razor's edge despite a lengthy list of failures and outages. PASS complains that the program, which is provided by Harris Corporation, suffers from insufficient training of contractors, poor planning and management, substandard service, and no backup for outages. On Monday, PASS highlighted a case in Augusta, Georgia, where it took over 8 hours for a contractor from Harris to respond to an outage. PASS is calling for the FAA to immediately re-engage its bargaining unit and include the Controllers Union, NATCA, which it says has had no involvement so far in planning the telecommunications infrastructure. American Airlines Captain Sam Mayer has provided CNN with what the Allied Pilots Association says is an example of maintenance problems with the carrier's MD-80 series airliners. Mayer says he heard a noise minutes after takeoff from the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport one frigid day last December. The plane's nose gear would not retract, and as he circled the airport, freezing temperatures and icy precipitation started to obscure the windshield. Quote, "As we were running the emergency procedures, there was a pop. Everyone's ears blew out. We realized we had lost the pressurization of the aircraft," unquote. Mayer managed a safe landing within a few minutes and says the exterior of the jetliner looked like a popsicle. He says the malfunctioning nose gear disabled the plane's anti-icing systems, and the wings and tail of the plane were freezing over. Mayer says he called American's fleet manager and was assured the company was working on the problem. CNN says it has learned that American's MD-80s recorded 23 landing gear problems in the last few months, resulting in several emergency landings. In February, the landing gear of American Flight 862 would not retract after the plane took off from Palm Beach International Airport in Florida. That MD-80 landed safely in Miami after spending 2 hours in the air burning off fuel. In a statement to CNN, American says the airline has, quote, "identified three separate issues with retracting of MD-80 nose landing gear, each of which was related to extremely cold temperatures and precipitation," unquote. But the pilots' union says the problem can't be strictly a cold weather issue, citing the Miami incident. It blames the airline and the FAA for not doing enough to solve the problem. American charges its pilots are sharing a certain misinformation with the media as a tactic during contract negotiations. The FAA says it's aware of cases in which landing gear on American MD-80s has failed to retract properly, but has, quote, determined that there was no safety concern, unquote. That position will no doubt come as a surprise to customers displaced by the cancellation of another 1,000 American MD-80 flights on Wednesday alone. And finally, NASA has, for years, promoted the idea that someday we could all travel in flying cars on a highway in the sky, a little like George Jetson's daily commute to his job at Spacely Sprockets. But so far, development of a practical flying car has proven daunting. The Mahler Sky Car, for example, has been under development since 1974, has reportedly swallowed over $200 million in funding, and only managed a brief hover aided by a crane. Now, it looks as if the first vehicle to successfully ply both the roads in the sky may turn out not to be a DARPA project or a product of one of the big automakers. In fact, it may not even be a car. ANN last visited with Larry Neal 2 years ago at Lakeland when he demonstrated his Butterfly Super Sky Cycle. This year, he's announcing production of the kits has begun, and he's looking for dealers. And it won't take a deposit of millions either. Neal says that for a limited time, anyone with $10,000 can become a dealer to sell the Super Sky Cycle. The craft itself is a three-wheeled motorcycle with folding blades which turn it into a gyroplane. Neal gushes, quote, "It's for real. It's affordable and safe to fly. People tell me this is an idea whose time has come," unquote. But is the world ready to have the people who drive cars today taking to the skies tomorrow? Will the cup holder and cell phone crowd have even a remote chance of arriving safely to work at Spacely Sprockets? But most important, can Larry provide a muffler for the Rotax 912 that makes it sound like this? That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, ANN's Jim Campbell talks at length with Mike Slingluff, president of the Florida Aviation Trades Association, about the Florida use tax as it applies to aircraft visiting from out of state. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.